And now, join Kevin Hart as he dives into the minds of some of your favorite celebrities. This is Gold Mines with Kevin Hart.
What up, world? You already know what it is. This is another episode of Gold Mines. Gold Mines. You know what we do here. We get inside the minds of amazing individuals, and today will be no different. Gems get dropped here. It is your job to pick them up. I cannot force you to pick them up. I can only tell you that you should pick them up. So do yourself a favor and prepare for multiple gems today. Because wow, oh boy, we got another amazing mind coming. Ladies and gentlemen, this mind is a dope one. Why? Well, because it's attached to a lot of success, and I love to talk success. I love to understand how success was made. In this case, oh my goodness. Well, first and foremost, she's got her own talk show. Okay, that show airs Monday through Friday. She's an author, right? She's an author. I'll tell you what the talk show is. I just didn't want to say her name first before I go down the rest of the runway of things that she's done. She's an author. Book number one was called As the Wicked Watch. Right now, you can pre-order her second book, which is called Watch Where They Hide. Okay, that's coming out in 2024. Ladies and gentlemen, she is a journalist, a news correspondent. She's pretty much the real deal. She's a two-time Emmy winner and host. Now I can say the talk show. Of her own show, which is called The Tamara Hall Show. How you doing, Tamara? How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Did you like my introduction?
I did. You know, the only mistake, because you are from Philly and I went to Temple, everyone in Philly says they say Tamron. So I can always tell where someone knows me from because I'm Tamron in Texas. Tamron in Philly.
Philly. North Philadelphia, to be exact. Yes. You know, people don't think that we have. Yes. They don't think that we have an accent. And it's extremely funny that you know, of course, because you spend time there. So you are very familiar with the dialect that comes from a Philadelphia name.
But I will
lose the Tamron and I'm gonna go Tamron.
You're going mainstream.
Tamron. I like it. Tamron. Anybody that knows me in life, if you have a nickname that has come from me, it's because I struggle with the name. So, like when I go and I say, "Hey, hot feet," or something like that. Hey, there they go. Like, when I start saying that, hey, there they go. What do?
Like, I don't know if that's just you. I'm from the South. I'm from Luley, Texas, where I'm born, and everyone there will call you out by what you're wearing. Hey, red pants. I see your hat.
There you go. There you go. Nice hat. Nice hat. Yeah. Look at you.
And then that's your name forever. Forever. They see you at the cookout. Hey, nice hat. I see it. You got the hat on today. Nice hat.
Yeah. I ain't even wearing a hat. Yeah, I know. I know you ain't wearing a hat. Nice hat. All right. Okay, Joe. Thank you. Thank you for that. So you just said where you're from. What type of family are we talking about? Big family? Small family? How big of a family?
Not big. My grandfather raised me. I always say he's the first dad that I knew. My mom was a single mom at 19, and I was the only child born in the town at the hospital, and my mom's name is Mary. So they were debating naming me Jesus, but that didn't ring right. So I got Tamron. I'm kidding.
Trying to make it rough for you out the gate. Okay. Oh my God.
Well, my son's name is Moses. So we think big in my family. We think big. We go big or go home. But my grandfather was born in 1901. And so my mom was the last of his 10 children that he raised after his wife died. And so my mom had become pregnant. She went to a HBCU college called Paul Quint, a very small school. And she came back home to Luling, and there was the two of us. And my mom eventually moved to Dallas-Fort Worth, where she married the dad that God meant for me to have. And it was in the military for 30 years. He was 20 5 years older than my mom. He was our landlord, and he'd been married 3 times. So on paper, it was a disaster. But the best man, she hates when I tell people this story, but I know, stop it, Ken. So for all the brothers out there, all the men out there, if you don't look good on paper, it's okay. Because well, you can still win. You can win. You know, that's the first gem.
You know what this is?
Just because this you don't look good on paper.
This is a prime example of why you have to let people finish their sentences, right? Like, this is a prime example of why you wait till the end, because you was running it down. He was a landlord. He'd been, you know, he's married 3 times. Those things didn't work out. But uh-huh. he was a good man. It ended with, this is the man that God meant for me to have as a father. Yeah. That's a strong statement. Yes. That's a strong
it
statement.
Is.
I mean,
it's fact.
One... It's one that I know, you know, probably has to make that man's heart warm as hell. Why do you say that? Like, where's the strong stance come from?
I think it changed the trajectory of my entire life. I mean, you know, my biological father is still alive. And much like you've been very open about your relationship with your dad, it went through these. Mine is different in the sense that in my 20s, so as I share with you, you know, single mom, and then my mom, one day we're renting this house, and I don't think I've ever told this exactly true story, but I adored you, so I'll tell you the truth because you talk so much about your mom, Nancy, and everything that you've gone through. So there I am, this only child, and I think I was the only child on our block. Everybody else had siblings because I lived in this neighborhood where everybody had a cousin, and it was like a cousin and like a brother. There was just me and my mom. And our rent was late, as I recall, and she went out to talk to our landlord. And she looked at me as we were walking back to our home, and she said, "That's going to be your dad." And I'm like, "Wait, what in the sexy red?" Back then, that was not a thing. I was like, "Oh wow. My God." And I was like 7. And I'm like, "What?" Because we were best friends. I was her best friend. I was her confidant. Wow. And some people might think that was an imbalance of a relationship, but I was her friend. I was the person betting on her. She was in college. She was working 3 and 4 jobs. And so when I tell the story now, she pretends that it didn't happen, but I remember her saying it. And soon after, they started dating. And he started properly, as we say, where I'm from, courting my mom. And in a sense, extending his hand to me and my brother, her children. And they got married, I think about a year or two after that moment, and just changed the trajectory of our lives. I remember watching the local news. I was probably 10 or 11 by then. I was getting like C's and not doing well in school. Just, I was very talkative, as if anybody would be surprised by that, but I was very talkative and very mischievous. It's a nice way to say it. And he said, if you get your grades up, that can be you. And he was pointing at the TV, and it was this Black woman, Iola Johnson, who was the first Black woman to anchor the news in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Wow.
He was like, if you get your grades up, that could be you. My dad, as I said, was in the Army for 30 years. So he's real like, if you get your grades up, that could be you. And kind of a mix of Bernie Mac meets, I don't know. And I said, okay, bet. Game on. Because I love proving people wrong. And because he said it to inspire me, but I believe there was a hint of challenge. And when I say that was the dad God meant for me to have, I don't know if that moment of challenge of that, can you really do it? If that hadn't happened, would I be here? It's one of my favorite movies is Butterfly Effect. It's always, life is always an if then, if I wasn't on that street that day, if this man hadn't come into our lives, what would the butterfly effect of my life be?
I mean, I love that. First of all, I love your realization of that. And it is the moments like early on that provide what I like to call the switch to come on, right? Yeah. Like the light bulb. And you hear a lot about the light bulb, but I don't think people give the light bulb enough credit. The light bulb going off like and going on is a big deal because the day that you grasp an understanding of what you're doing or what you want to do or what you're going to do is the day that life does change for you. Do you feel like at that moment, right, of acceptance to the thing that you call the challenge, was it more of like, I'm going to go and get my grades right because I do want to do what this woman on television is doing? Or did you not have an idea of what the career would be at that time? Like, what was it? Was it a well vetted out plan at that time? Thank you for listening to this episode of Gold Mines with Kevin Hart. You can catch the rest of this episode exclusively on the SiriusXM app. We'll see you next week for a full episode of Gold Mines with Kevin Hart.
Gold Mines with Kevin Hart is a SiriusXM and Laugh Out Loud radio production. Executive produced by Kevin Hart, Ty Randolph, Mike Stein, Brian Smiley, Eric Eddings, and Eric Weil. Produced by Danny Sellers and Leslie Guam, and engineered by Danny Sellers.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.